Oh yeah, we got him. Trey Frazier and Maestro Styles, you know we got one. Right back like the steps come. We don't duck smoke, we want all of it. So line them up, Trey shot with the blade, you know we sizing it up. I'm quick to catch the fade, you know Styles making the cut. Cause we coming out clean every time that we showing up.
It's gonna be called the Barbershop.
Yo, what's good? What's good, family? Welcome, welcome. It's another edition of the Barbershop Sports Talk Podcast. We're streaming live right now on our YouTube channel, also our Twitter handle at Barbershop SPOR2, and on our Facebook page. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Barbershop Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Trey Frazier. And as you can see, my homie Maestro Styles, he's not feeling well. And maybe because he's trying to dodge his smoke for his Steelers losing last week. But in all seriousness, my bro, get well soon. Can't wait to have you back next week. I got a guest co-host with me tonight, this brother right here. I'm so proud of this man. This man's been working hard. Got his own podcast called Touring the AFC South, which you can find on all your streaming platforms. And also, you can follow him on Twitter and Facebook and all the other, you know, social media platforms. Goes by the name of Mike Patton. Mike, my brother, thank you for coming in this this evening, man. How's everything, man? Long time no see.
And everything is great, man. It's a pleasure to be on the show, man. And, you know, definitely get well soon, Maestro.
No doubt. No doubt, man. So I guess we can start with the upset special. You know, you cover the Titans and as well as all the other teams in the AFC South. And we had an upset special last night. And, bruh, I ain't gonna lie to you, man, because I did watch both games last night. I had the double, you know, dual screens up on the TV. And I did notice, you know, in real time that the Giants-Packers game was a little bit faster than the Titans and Dolphins game. So I'm watching, you know, Danny DeVito's cousin or nephew or whoever drive him down the field for the game-winning score. And I'm looking up at the little ticker up at the top because I guess they try to tell you what the score is of the other games, whatever. So I saw Dolphins up 27-13, and I said, okay, that game's probably going to be a wrap. You know, watch the Giants pull their upset off. And then it felt like through about 20 minutes of real time that Titan-Dolphin game in like the last 5 minutes of the game, it just kind of took forever. So I'm like, wait, this game is still going on. I said, let me change over. And I see the Titans driving down the field. You know, the score is 27-21 at that point, and I see them driving down the field, getting ready to go score. And I'm like, oh, snap. Like, this is really about to happen. And sure enough, Derrick Henry, he gets the touchdown. Dolphins go back on offense with like a minute left. And Tua doesn't get it done. He gets sacked. He trips a little bit before the sack. And, you know, the Dolphins let one get away, but Tennessee, you got to give him credit, man. Your thoughts on those events in those final 2 minutes?
I couldn't believe what I was watching because when it's 27-13 and Mostert scored, I was like, okay, cool. This game is over. They're not going to win. It just is what it is. They fought hard, but ultimately they just weren't able to overcome their mistakes. Then Will Levis happened. And Will Levis was hanging in the pocket, slinging it all around the field. And the thing that's crazy about this whole game, he had two weapons that he was literally using majority of the game. Mm-hmm. That was DeAndre Hopkins, and yep, that was Spears at the running back. And both mm-hmm. of them were doing whatever they wanted to do.
I started Spears in my parlay, actually. I didn't win. I didn't win, by the way, but
he had like 96 yards receiving, and I was like, okay. And then, DeAndre Hopkins won me a fantasy football match, so. You know, he propelled me to the playoffs.
Nice, nice.
You know, so I got to thank him for that. But definitely it was interesting to watch. And it's interesting to watch not only the Titans gonna win the game and Will Levis, you know, making all of the throws that he needed to make. But watching the Dolphins offense just continue to stall. And when the biggest glaring thing is they were not the same when Tyreek Hill was not in the game. They were completely not the same.
Yeah, but it wasn't just like toward the end of the game. This was like throughout the game, like right after he got hurt. You saw a clear difference. I mean, when you talk about scoring for Miami, it was the two field goals. It was the pick six by Will Levis. He threw it right to the defensive end, like 3 yards. He threw it right to him. So you had that. So that's kind of how they got to 13 points. Really, their offense was the two drives that they got the turnovers off of. The first one was the muff punt by what's his name? And then you
Garrett.
That was the first turnover. And then the second one was the pitch to Derrick Henry, and you know, that kind of got lost there. So they both had those turnovers, gave Miami short fields, and that's kind of really how that game for their offense kind of went. So but again, all credit to the Titans for, I guess, not giving up, you know, when, you know, it's 13-27 and it's 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game. I thought originally they got like an onside kick, but it turns out Miami just kind of went three and out, I guess, was trying to run the clock out, and they just couldn't get that third down. So
Tua tried to scramble. It was like a microcosm. It was the same thing that happened on the last drive. Third down, he tried to scramble around, but the pocket closed on him, and they were able to get him down before Arden Key, I believe, was the one able to get him down before he got to the first yard marker.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. That was huge right there. Oh, another thing I wanted to point out, too.
Yeah.
You know, for as bad as the Titans have been all season, the one saving grace for them that saved them in this game was their red zone defense. The red zone defense is one of the tops in the NFL. But nobody knows about it just because of their record.
Right.
When they were playing against the Dolphins, they held them. They forced a turnover, and then they held them to a couple field goals in there, which was huge
for the outcome
of this game.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And just kind of like we alluded to earlier, with Tyreek not being there for – you know, a certain part of the game, you could kind of tell where he was a little limited at. Like, you didn't see the explosive Tyreek Hill. Like, he had those two catches down the field, but he kind of took those out of bounds as he was catching those balls. It wasn't like he caught the ball and then he was trying to juke somebody. Like, that offense goes when that guy can get the ball in space and kind of make guys miss. And we didn't see any of that last night.
No. Not at all. And also, I will point out, too, the Dolphins center went out early in the game with a knee injury. He actually, Connor Williams tore his ACL, so he's out for the rest of the year.
So they're
on the backup center now. Mm-hmm. And then also another thing that was incredibly different when Tyreek went out the game is that Tua had to hold on to the ball more. Mm-hmm. When he had to hold on to the ball more, to me, they could focus more attention on Jalen Waddle. And then let everyone else try to do something. Now, Cedric Wilson Jr. made a couple plays. Mm-hmm. You know, love Cedric Wilson Jr. So Cedric Wilson Sr., I should say, because, of course, he went to Tennessee.
Yeah, right.
You know, but other than that, I mean, really, they couldn't get a lot of different plays out of the other playmakers outside of Tyreek and Waddle.
Mm-hmm. So is this and quickly kind of to the Miami side of it, because now – they're in a situation where Buffalo is kind of on their neck a little bit. They're two games apart in the standings with 4 games left to go. And this narrative about Miami, where it's they beat up on the so-so teams, the under 500 teams. But then when they had to play the Chiefs, the Eagles, Buffalo the first time around, they don't seem to win those games against the competition that you're going to see in the playoffs. So the fact that they dropped this one to Tennessee and they got the Ravens coming up in a few weeks, they got the Jets, that defense has made quarterbacks look silly. Even, you know, the best of the best quarterbacks throughout the season, the Jets defense has made them look silly. So they got to deal with that. Then they got to deal with Buffalo last week of the season. That could be for the AFC East if they're not careful. And they got to see the Dallas Cowboys in a couple of weeks as well. Should there be concern for this team moving forward as far as winning the East?
There should be a little bit of concern there. I wouldn't say an extremely high level of concern, but there should definitely be some concern there. But I think this loss is going to capture their attention a little more. Mm-hmm. And hopefully for them, they come out the next game and they, you know, kind of reestablished, you know, kind of who they are and what they want to do, which is be a physical football team with speed. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, definitely a little bit of a pressure has definitely been applied to the Miami Dolphins, you know, courtesy of that loss.
Right. And just to kind of go through what Buffalo's got coming up, they got the Cowboys this week, and then they get Miami at the end of the year. They got a couple easy games with New England with a backup quarterback. And now we just heard Justin Herbert is out for the season. They get the Chargers the weekend of Christmas. So, you know, Buffalo's schedule minus the Cowboys, relatively easy. They could easily come within a game of the Dolphins going into week 18. So if you're a Bills fan and the, you know, your team has had an up and down season with all the stuff that, you know, they've been going through with injuries on the defense, Josh Allen with the turnovers and stuff, and you look and you saw what Miami just, you know, choked away an easy game last night, and knowing what they got coming up, you got to be looking at it like, yo, we could still catch these guys. We could still, you know, win a division. So if you're a Bills fan, you got to look and say, hey, yo, we got a chance.
Yeah, you definitely do. Interesting. You know, I will say the one thing I still don't like about the Bills is that Josh Allen is their best running back. That's still not a solution. You know, to me, it's still not a solution. It's almost like last night, I don't know if you heard the comment or read the comment about Mike Vrabel saying about Will Levis taking on those hits.
Yeah, so right.
He said, I guess we got to show him a film of quarterbacks getting the crap knocked out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, right. You know, like, yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, though, and me and Maestro, we've kind of gone back and forth about the Bills, and he, you know, he's got some money on the Bills missing the playoffs. So at the same time, he's not counting them out. I counted them out a few weeks ago. But, you know, with the events that have been taking place, particularly in the conference with a bunch of backup quarterbacks, and we'll kind of go into the other teams in the South. But with all those changes now Buffalo's kind of looking at it as, okay, we got a chance. And if we do get in, we going to be a problem to deal with. So, but to kind of go into the other teams in the South. So I guess we could start with the Colts. They lost to the Bengals, 34-14, I think that was, in Cincinnati.
That's bad loss.
I guess it depends on how you look at it. expectations for the Colts, I can't imagine were, you know, all that great, knowing they were kind of starting over. Anthony Richardson's the new guy at quarterback. They had some changes in the offensive line and things like that. And with Cincinnati losing Joe Burrow for the season, you got a backup quarterback in there that really played well the previous week in Jacksonville. And I guess nothing much was expected of Browning, but he put on another pretty good performance in Cincinnati. But I'll say this, though. I like the skill position players for Cincinnati better than I do like the skill position players for the Colts. And I felt like, without watching majority of that game, that was the difference in the football game. I know the Colts had a couple of turnovers that kind of got them back into the game, but Cincinnati kind of pulled away. Your thoughts on the Colts and how they look up to this point and what the chances are to possibly get into these playoffs?
Well, the funny thing is, even with that loss, they're still in the seventh seed in the playoffs if the playoffs were to start today.
Right.
Is far and away above anything else that no one thought that you would see the Colts in the playoffs this year. They thought they'd be a rebuilding team, you know, trying to find themselves along with trying to groom Anthony Richardson to be the next guy. But, you know, defensively, they played tough. They got rid of Shaq Leonard, which that surprised a lot of people. But it was, you know, he was getting less and less playing time with the inside linebackers that they have now that are playing. But it just, to me, you know, just, you know, with all that being said and them being in the playoff hunt, to me, it was a bad loss because their defense didn't necessarily show up. Offensively, you know, it kind of seemed like they were kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, defense was playing well for about 4 or 5 weeks there prior to that game.
Yeah, they were. It just, to me, they had a couple plays, though. They did have one play where they scored, and then Rodney Harrison, or not Rodney Harrison, but Harrison is his last name, but I can't remember his first name. But anyway, he's actually converted linebacker from safety. He used to play for Cleveland. And they converted him to linebacker.
I know who he's talking about. I forget his first name, too, but I know who he's talking about.
Yeah, he picked off a pass and ran back for a touchdown before half. They got 14 points really quickly. But other than that, that was really about it for the Colts, to be honest. They just couldn't kind of get going offensively. I know Gardner Minshew is not a to me, he is a backup quarterback. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. And these are the games where it kind of shows that, you know, along with him running into sacks a lot. Because I don't know if you've watched him, but there's been a few games where he's played where he's ran into sacks. Like, literally, I saw one when he was playing against the Colts and playing against the Titans. He ran into a sack, and I was like, okay, where is he going? Get rid of the football, whatever. But anyway, the game before that, he's back there throwing the football. He could have thrown the football, throwing it away. There's a defender in front of him, and it's almost like he runs right towards him to get a sack. And I'm like, hold on, man. Are you padding the stats? Y'all got a side deal or something? Or what's going on?
Yeah, just, I'm not.
I don't understand sometimes when he's.
I'm not a Minshew fan. I'm not a Minshew fan. But I'll give him this though, because he's been the quarterback starting for the majority of the season compared to other backup quarterbacks. And just maybe a couple weeks ago, we kind of thought, maybe we give the Colts a shot. But you could see. One game he'll play good, and then another game he'll be inconsistent and he won't play so great. And that's why I'm kind of like, maybe this team is not going to eventually make it to the tournament, you know, when it's all said and done. But I know the schedule is kind of favorable for them down the stretch, and we could get to their matchup on Saturday against Pittsburgh. And, you know, I know Maestro, if he was on, he would be all over this game, talking about Pittsburgh's going to win this football game. And I'll be honest with you, I'd have to say, as a Ravens fan that wants to see them lose this game, I kind of feel like Pittsburgh's going to beat the Colts on Saturday. Where are you at with it?
Honestly, I'm not sure they're going to beat the Colts on Saturday. I'm not sure they have enough offense to beat the Colts, to be honest.
Yeah.
Both teams are going to struggle. Well, I would say this: the Steelers struggle offensively. Of course, T.J. Watt's in concussion protocol, so we don't know what's going on there either.
That's right. They're under investigation for that, I heard.
Yeah, they are, but you know, it's kind of just their typical protocol things they do in terms of when somebody pops up on there after a game.
Right.
It's just typical things that they do.
But ain't that a typical thing where a guy gets in the concussion protocol more times than not, he's not going to play the following week? Is that more times than not, or is that just depending on the player and, I guess, depending on how he got concussed?
Yeah, definitely. It depends upon the player, and it depends upon how soon he can get out of the actual concussion protocol. But this year, it's been kind of that way. And, of course, you know, with concussion protocol, that's something that the Texans, the Houston Texans fans are going to be watching this week as well.
Yeah. Shout out to CJ Stroud, man. Hopefully, because that looked bad. I watched him hit his head against the turf there in playing the Jets.
His head bounced.
Yeah. Right. That thing, it looked terrible. Looked terrible for him. So what do you think about that situation? You think that he's going to miss this week's game?
Honestly, I'm not for sure. If I was a betting man, I would say yes, he's going to miss this week's game. And then the invincible Davis Mills, who still has a job.
Another
as
backup
Houston, Texas
quarterback,
quarterback,
man. I tweeted out earlier today, this is the year of the backup quarterback, because it feels like half of the league is at some point has had to put a backup quarterback in the lineup.
Right.
And then with the injuries too, with some of the, you know, starters, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones. And then some of the guys that did start that aren't playing well. You're seeing those guys get benched, you know, for backups too, you know, like a Mac Jones, for example. So you're seeing a lot of backups, you know, Deshaun Watson, I forgot him. He's out for the year too. You're seeing a lot of backups in these situations, man. But to get back to the Colts and Steelers, Saturday night game, in a game that, you know, both teams 7-6, either one of these teams got to have it. Otherwise, the loser is probably in trouble in terms of making the playoffs. Low scoring game. How you see this playing out?
I see the battle. First team to 20 wins this game. Might not even be 20. Might be the first team to 17.
13? not that low, right? Not that low.
No, not that low. I think Michael Pittman Jr. is going to make a play, and then I will have to say something. I will have to eat a little crow. I did say that Michael Pittman Jr. was not a number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He's closing in on 100 yards, 100 receptions this year.
Yeah.
And he's 16 yards away from 1,000 yards. So I do have to say, yes, for that team, he is the number one.
He is their number one receiver, but he's not a number one receiver, if that makes sense.
I didn't say it. You did.
Hey, everybody's got their best receiver on the team. You know, Michael Pittman, he's their guy. You know, he's their number one guy. And I checked out them stats earlier too. I did find that a little bit strange, but I guess he's like top 10, right? Top 10 in receiving, a little bit outside the top 10.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah,
shout out to him.
Even with ranking the wide receivers, I gotta say he's making me question my thinking of if he's the number one wide receiver, which is good for the Colts.
Right.
For sure.
Right, right. Well, look, you know, I'm a Ravens fan, so anytime the Steelers lose, it's always a happy home here. But it's just something about when those two teams get together, you know, recent memory too. I know the Steelers have beat them, you know, consecutively, you know, for a number of years now. I don't know what it is, but I got a feeling in my head. I think the Steelers beat them somehow, some way, but my heart, you know where my heart is at. Like I'm rooting for the Colts to, you know, push them guys back a little bit further, man, down in the standings. And it's crazy, you know, somehow, you know, there's 6 teams, 7-6, you know, in that wild card race. And somehow Pittsburgh's got all the tiebreakers over all those teams, you know, that are tied. Now, obviously, you know, if they're in a two-way with like the Texans, and obviously the Texans, you know, get that wild card from their win earlier in the year. But it's just crazy that they lose two games, the two win teams back to back in their own building, and somehow, some way, they're still like a wild card team. It's just crazy, man. I'm sure
Maestro would appreciate this comment when I say it. I used to think this about Bill Belichick beforehand, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But hear me out. Mike Tomlin is the MacGyver of NFL coaches. Now, for those that don't know what MacGyver is, MacGyver was a show back in the day. You know, he messed around. You give him like all these little things that don't look like they can make a weapon out of it. He figures out a way to make a weapon and whatever.
Yeah.
That is Mike Tomlin. If you look at his team offensively, they look a little dysfunctional when it comes to offense and defense, but somehow, some way, he figures out how to make it happen to get just enough out of this team.
Yeah, TJ Watt.
8-9 wins. Yeah.
TJ Watt makes a play here and there. You know, and like we talked about, if you blow this team out, you're going to win. You're going to beat the Steelers if you blow them out. But don't get into a 13-10 ball game in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, they're gonna make a play. That's going to be a 3-point game. It's going to be a 3-point win.
Yeah, they'll find a way. They always seem to find a way.
Except for the Patriots. Except for the Patriots. Yeah. And Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick owns Mike Tomlin. 9-3 record, to say the least. So, you know.
Yeah. Can't say too much about that one.
crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff. Let's transition. We talked about CJ Stroud under concussion protocol. Another, I guess, bad loss, just considering where the two teams were, but not surprising in a sense that the weather was a factor up in New York. The Jets were having their own issues. Zach Wilson back in the starting lineup after some stuff leaked out from a former radio host who I'm a big fan of, Joe Beningo, by the way. He's retired, but he still does work with the station, and somehow, some way, him and the coach be texting and stuff. And he just had to put out there that the coach doesn't like Zach Wilson. And, you know, hey, I get it. You kind of got to, you know, do it for the ratings and do it for the splash. But that's a kind of an invasion of trust, right? Like you texting somebody back and forth, you know, especially you being a media member versus a head coach, like you kind of got to think you got to trust somebody with information like that. So, you know, he was kind of
blocked, probably.
Right. You kind of file in that regard, right? You kind of file for leaking out personal text messages on the air, right? So
right.
So then they, you know, they start Zach Wilson and the Jets. They blew out the Texans, you know, in their own stadium, and bad loss in a sense. You could have had a chance to catch the Jaguars, who were kind of having their own stuff. We'll get to them in a minute. But still, it's another team that we didn't expect their season to go the way it's going. CJ Stroud, for a number of weeks, people have been talking about putting him in the MVP race. At this point now, I think he's out of it, given what other people are doing. Where do you see the season at for the Texans right as it stands now? Like, what's their outlook for the rest of the – I guess they got – yeah, everybody's got four games left. How do you see their season playing out?
Well, they're playing with house money right now. No one expected them to even be in the playoff race, let alone have, what, 7 wins?
Yeah,
no one expected that at all. But the biggest thing that I think was very much different about this last game was they didn't have Tank Dell. That was the first game they played without Tank Dell. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't help when Nico Collins left the game with a calf injury. Mm-hmm. So there you're down to Noah Brown and Robert Woods as your receivers, pretty much. And that isn't good. Even though I like Robert Woods and the things he's done over his career, he's not the same Robert Woods anymore. Noah Brown, he's had a great season, career high in yards, but he is not your number two wide receiver. He's just not that guy. Yeah. So when that happened, it kind of, you know, put them at a disadvantage, especially going against Sauce Gardner and Reed on the opposite side. So to me, you know, they're playing with house money. Hopefully for them, they get Nico Collins back. If they don't, it's going to be really rough. Even going against a Titans secondary that has given up probably the most big plays in the NFL. But still, it's going to be a tough game for them. But the good thing for them is they do have the Titans twice. Yeah. The Jaguars have them once in their last four games. So, you know, depending on which Titans team, which this year that was the Titans' first win on the road the entire season.
I heard.
They haven't really scored or done much on the road. So,
yeah.
I will say that it'll be interesting just to see. But I think the Texans and the Jaguars are going to come down to the last weekend. I think it's going to come down to the last weekend because the Jaguars will be facing the Titans here in Nashville, and the Texans will be facing the Colts. I believe that game is home or away.
That game, Texans Colts, that could be for one of those wild card spots. That could be a winner take all kind of a deal right there. So Houston's got Tennessee this coming week. So I would imagine, based off of concussion protocol with CJ Stroud, probably not going to be able to start. Combined with what the Titans did last night, comeback victory, I would imagine this game is in the Titans' like favor right now. And look, I hate this thing where they show these standings on the TV and they got the in the hunt column and it's got like teams that's like 5-8 and stuff like that. And it's like, y'all, get rid of them 5-8 teams. Like them dudes really ain't about to do nothing. They doing that to the right. NFC. They doing that to the NFC. They got the Giants and the Bears 5-8. Oh, they in the hunt. They in the hunt. Like, get them teams out of here. They not doing anything. But if you're the Titans, this is a division game. Those games always, you know, can go either way. Familiarity with one another. How do you see that playing out?
Honestly, the Titans, when they lost to the Colts, that was their first game they'd lost at home all year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I expect the Titans to come out firing like they did, you know, last quarter of the last game.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, you know, they played without Jeffrey Simmons, but they still looked good, which nobody was talking about. You know, Jeffrey Simmons was there on the sideline. That defense was still getting after the quarterback pretty good.
Yeah, right.
He's probably going to be out this game, too. So it's going to be the same type of scenario. Mr. Tierre Tart probably eating up blocks in the middle. But we'll see what happens. But if the running game gets going for the Texans and Davis Mills has to play, that's going to be a key to keeping this game close. But
mm-hmm.
I just have a feeling the Titans may get 2 wins in a row. It'll be the it'll be the first time all year they've won 2 games in a row.
Yeah, I got that same feeling, man. And it sucks because I wanted to see C.J. Stroud in these playoffs because I feel like he's a gamer, man. But if this is going to hamper him and he's going to miss this game, that's just going to put them, you know, that'll put him at 7-7. And, you know, depending on what the other teams do in that wild card race, that they're going to be behind the 8-ball at least for a week or so. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I feel like Tennessee, they're going to get up for this matchup and they're going to, you know, they're going to do their thing with a hobbled, you know, Texans team coming in. Jacksonville. Couple of weeks, not a very good couple of weeks. They lose to the Bengals in their own building on a Monday night. And then Trevor Lawrence, who I give a lot of credit to for, you know, sticking it out, playing in the game against Cleveland this past Sunday. They dropped one to the Browns as well. So it's 2 in a row, 8-5. There's still a game ahead of Indy and Houston, you know, for the division lead. And now my team comes to town Sunday night. We're coming off of a rough game. I will say the Rams are in a playoff chase right now. You know, they won 3 in a row coming into Baltimore, and they gave my defense all the work. And man. there was a moment where I was like, all right, that's it. We dropping one, and we got a tough, you know, slate of games coming up with Jacksonville and San Francisco and Miami. But you know, my special teams, they pulled one out. So you know, we're 10-3. Jacksonville's 8-5. You know, going into this matchup Sunday night, I feel pretty confident about this game. Jacksonville has been kind of a lousy home team this year with losses to the Niners in a blowout, Kansas City earlier in the season, and, you know, to the Bengals a couple weeks ago. I feel pretty good about this matchup. Where are you at as far as how the Jaguars can have a shot to win this game? So are they going to be short Christian Kirk for this one?
Yes, Christian Kirk's actually out for the season, so he's done.
Yeah.
So that's a huge loss. I mean, he had a core muscle surgery, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a huge loss because he's a guy that makes the plays when no one else makes them. Now, we thought Calvin Ridley would be that guy, but Calvin Ridley's been up and down more times than the Dow Jones this year. So it hasn't been any kind of type of consistency with him. So that hurts them. Zay Jones has done his thing. You know, of course, he channeled his inner Barry Gordy and, you know, Bruce Lee, you know, Bruce Lee, I'm sorry, he found the glow. couple times, but he just couldn't find it all the time. So, you know, just with him, you know, he's got to be more consistent, especially with Christian Kirk out. And Evan Engram has kind of stepped up and been the guy for them more with Christian Kirk out. But I just don't – I'm not sure if they have enough offensively or consistent enough offensively to make things happen against the Baltimore Ravens defense, who last week were kind of, I guess, taken to task by the Rams offense. However, I'm going to flip that. You look at the Jaguars secondary. They're one of the worst in terms of secondaries in terms
31st.
Of like stats. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the NFL. So I can see this game getting a little bit scary for them, especially trying to contain Lamar Jackson and then those weapons in the passing game. I think we might see another Michael Jackson dance from Odell Beckham Jr. in the end zone. I think Zay Flowers may get another thumbs down from Lamar Jackson on his touchdown celebration. I think we might see some fireworks in this game. I think it could potentially be a high scoring game, especially with the considering both you know, secondaries in terms of the weapons that each team has.
Right. And kind of allude to my secondary, Kyle Hamilton tweaked something in the game against the Rams on Sunday. So his status is kind of in question. He's day to day. We'll kind of see how that works out. They're actually considering maybe him skipping this one and maybe saving him for the big one on Christmas night, which, by the way, I will be at that game. 49ers.
Is it in night. Baltimore or is it in San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Okay.
I tell you, when the schedule came out, I said, ooh, Christmas night. And I got a cousin that lives on the East Bay. She'd been, you know, her and her husband, you know, been staying out there for about 4 years now. I said, you know what? Let me make this a family thing. Told my wife about it, told mom about it. And then, you know, I got my cousins together, told my aunts, told my uncle, and, you know, even my grandmother. So I said, hey, y'all, you know, it's been a while since we had like a, you know, a Christmas like together as a family. Like, I kind of like this idea of, you know, spending it out in California. You know, we could see our cousin and stuff, you know, spend time with them. And then I could, you know, we could hit up this game. So, yeah, I'm going to be in the building Christmas night, man.
Okay. I will tell you that the one thing that you'll probably find interesting is that the echo, especially when they do the national anthem, if it's still the same, mm-hmm. there'll be an echo you'll hear from one end to the other, which will be interesting once you're in there hearing that. But I will tell you that, you know, teams that have faced the 49ers typically don't win the next week. Like last year, no mm-hmm. team won after they faced the 49ers all last year. This year, it's kind of been some of the same thing. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if I would save Hamilton for that game because that's probably going to be one of the more physical games.
Physical game, yeah.
Of the season there. And I'm interested. I'm very, very interested just to see the plan that's in place. And I want to see what Steve Wilkes can do because Steve Wilkes' specialty is tweaking mm-hmm. secondaries and trying to make things happen. And right. Tre'Davious Ward is kind of, you know, nursing a groin injury right now. And they did, now I will say, they did pick up Logan Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a part of the 49ers. And now they just signed Jason Verrett to the practice squad. So he's there too, if any more injuries too. So, you know, so the 49ers are kind of stacking veterans on the practice squad right now, just in case anybody gets injured.
Yeah, nah, I mean, that's smart. I mean, the Eagles did it last year. The Eagles somewhat did it this season. To try to, you know, keep up. That's smart on San Francisco to do that. And they're clearly, you know, for my money, and, you know, I'm always going to put my team, you know, first, but the 49ers are clearly the best team in the league right now. I mean, this is a Super Bowl preview, a Super Bowl potential matchup right here on Christmas night.
No, I'm going to tell you this right now before mm-hmm. the season. This was my Super Bowl matchup. I had it as Baltimore versus San Francisco. I'd say Super Bowl rematch. That's what I got.
Rematch.
There ain't going to be no lights getting turned off.
Rematch of Super Bowl 47. I dig it. I could dig it. I like that. I like that. Yeah, I had Ravens and Eagles as my Super Bowl pick. Eagles for the last month have been a little shaky on defense. The levy kind of broke on them this past Sunday. I'm not going to count Philly out, but right now, and, you know, as Stephen A. would always say, the list is fluid. San Fran is the best team right now, and it's not even close right now in terms of the NFC conference. It's not even close. So yeah, man, I'm going to be in the building. What I'm going to find interesting about going to that stadium is that I've seen a lot of videos go viral of 49ers fans fighting amongst themselves or even fighting fans of the other team. And
I was there when what happened.
I was
there when it was actually a fight right above where I was sitting. And it was the Chiefs versus the 49ers that game. And it was a fight. Beer just went flying on everybody sitting below, which I was sitting below, so it didn't fly on us, but it flew on the section right next to us.
Right, right.
And, yeah, so it was fist flying and everything. And, man, there's going to be at least one fight you're going
to
see.
Yeah, I have to strap up, man. I don't play that, man. I'm 40 years old, man. I ain't trying to fight nobody, man. So I'm gonna have to.
You're gonna see at least one fight. And the crazy part about the stadium too is it's actually there's a theme park that they buy that they basically park in. That's where the parking is. Mm-hmm. There's a theme park and there's a garage, and then also their practice facility is right behind the stadium. Literally right there. So that it's in Santa Clara. So you know, basically you'll it's not far from Stanford's campus. It's maybe about 20 minutes from Stanford's campus.
Okay. Yeah, my cousin said anywhere you go in the Bay Area is gonna be a drive. So whether it's to the winery, whether it's to and I'm trying to get Warriors tickets for my mother because she's a huge basketball fans, so you know, while we're there, there's a home game. I think the day we get in there, that Saturday, she wants to go to that game. And no matter where we go, everywhere seems like it's going to be a drive. So I'm gonna prepare myself for these long drives to these places and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the trip, man. It'll be our first time in California, second time on the West Coast, because my first trip to the West Coast was in Vegas. That was like 13 years ago.
Man, Vegas. Man, I went there for the NABJ a couple years ago.
Nice.
That was fun, man. That was fun times. I got some stories, but, you know, I can't put them all on here.
What they say, what happens there, stay there, right?
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah. Don't put yourself on a spot like that. Don't do that, so... but to get back to Jacksonville and Baltimore, I feel confident in my team that they could go in there and get a win, and then like we talked about the big one, you know, on Christmas night's coming up after that, and then Jacksonville at that point would be 8-6, and they too, just like Miami could possibly be, Jacksonville could be in a scramble to try to, you know, win this division, you know, but it could potentially be the last week of the season, depending on how things go. But you think all in all, when it's all said and done, last week of the season, Jacksonville eventually wins this division in your eyes?
I think Jacksonville wins this division, definitely. But I would not be... You know, I know plenty of people would be surprised about this, but I would say there is very much the potential that two AFC South teams could be in the playoffs, which no one thought that going into the season, because everyone thought that division's horrible. That's what I heard a lot. But if you look at this division now, it's actually much better than a lot of divisions. I mean, it's not as bad as the NFC South. The NFC South has just been bad. But there's been some divisions that have been, one of the worst divisions in football. If you look at the NFC South, nobody wants to win it.
Bunch of 6-7 teams. Yeah.
Right. You're on the phone, you're talking to somebody, you're interested, no, you hang up. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing with the first place right now. No, you hang up. They're doing that back and forth.
Right.
Basically.
Right. Well, first let me get to the chat here. I got some folks in here. Shout out to my boy, Kesey Ingram, face of the X Squad radio program. And then I got my boy Sean Simpson here. Sean had a comment in here. He says, if the 49ers don't win the Super Bowl with all those stars, they're gonna have to have hell to pay in the offseason. So I want to get your take, because we've had several 49ers fans on here at the start of the season. Shout out to my guy Rod and Wise Soul out there in the Bay Area. Shanahan has kind of had a long leash over the last several years, and it seems like the one position with the Niners that's been the most inconsistent has been the quarterback spot, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Mullins, CJ Beathard, Trey Lance, who they I'll stand on this 10 toes down, they botched that whole thing up, and now they got Brock Purdy. In your eyes, if this team doesn't win the Super Bowl, and obviously it would be a failure if they didn't win the Super Bowl, but do you feel like Kyle Shanahan got to go if he don't get it done this year?
No, I don't think he needs to go. I'll say this.
All right.
the window is still open.
Mm-hmm.
It's not closed yet. I will say they do have to start paying some people. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting. I don't expect them to pay.
It ain't the quarterback. It ain't the quarterback, right? Because the quarterback's had a couple years.
Yeah, right. But, mm-hmm. you know, they do have to pay Brandon Ayuk. That's coming
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Bosa's contract is going to start kicking in sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Williams is not going to be, you know, on the contract forever. And plus, right. he's in his late 30s. So.
Well, you have to find a replacement for him at some point.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they let McGlinchey go this offseason and just put a guy in there, and they were good. So whoever their offensive line coach is, that guy needs to be paid in whatever his weight is in gold, because he just figures out ways to make offensive linemen look better in the 49 mm-hmm. uniform. I have no idea why. But anyway.
The run game. It's the Shanahan right. team, man. It's the run game. They could put Travis Henry. They could put all kinds of types of running backs back there that you don't think are 1,000-yard rushers. And, you know, that system has – you know, made no-name running backs look great.
Orlandis Gary and Mike Anderson, you made mm-hmm. those guys look outstanding
yeah.
back there.
Facts.
I'll say this. Yeah, the run is coming to an end. It will come to an end eventually. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I always tell people is the runs come to an end when you least expect it. Just like a run starts when you least expect it too.
Yeah.
So somewhere in that is where the run is going to end. I just don't think it's going to be at the end of this season. I think it'll be, I think they have one more run, but I will say they're going to have make some interesting cap decisions this offseason, because the cap is mm-hmm. definitely not going to be friendly to them this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, man. But I think where we part ways, and again, I'm going to stand 10 toes down on this. If Shanahan don't get it done, I feel like you got to go, man, because you can't.
Who do you replace him with there?
Well, look, it's funny because that question always comes up no matter what team mm-hmm. or what group of fans are trying to get rid mm-hmm. of their coach, right? So I remember mm-hmm. years ago with my team, they fired Billick in 2007, mm-hmm. and everybody's like, who are you going to replace Billick with? Who are you going to replace him with? Well, John Harbaugh, those first few years, it turned out to be pretty good. It ended up with a Super Bowl, and, you know, you just never know, man. Coaches.
Let me give you a flip side.
Go ahead.
The flip side of that is,
mm-hmm.
okay, Billick, I mean, Brian Billick was kind of trending downward to begin with
at sure. that point. Sure.
The 49ers offensively aren't trending downward. So if they were trending downward, I'd be like, yeah, it's time to get rid of them. But yeah. at this point, I'm like, nah. I'm just like, you can't really get rid of them. Like, I mean, it'd be almost like the then San Diego Chargers. Remember when they fired a coach after being 14-2?
Marty Schottenheimer, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would almost feel like that if they fired him at the end of the season.
But the Chargers, me, but who they replaced him with? They replaced him with North Turner, right? And they were still good after that.
They were still good, but they weren't the same type of good.
They weren't.
They still were the same Chargers.
Yeah. Well. They, if my memory serves correct, they did end up in a championship game that following season after they went 14-2. So you could say that they stepped up. They stepped up a little bit after that. They got better in terms of how they finished the season. But you're right. As I guess the years went along, they did get mediocre after a certain point. But I mean the immediacy after Marty's firing, people thought they was going to the Super Bowl that following year, and they were one game away from it. So
let me also give you the financial answer as well.
Yeah.
Him and John Lynch both just signed 4-year contracts. So I definitely don't think they're getting fired after this season. Mm. Neither. Right. They're basically in it together.
All right. My guy, Sean Sims in the chat, he says Mike Tomlin would be the guy you would replace Kyle Shanahan with. But I can also see the point. Pittsburgh. What's that?
He's not leaving Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because look, I don't think he's leaving either. But, and this will be something I'll probably discuss with Maestro when he gets back on here next week. But I did hear that next year he's got 1 year left on his contract. And I know the typical, you don't let a coach go into a season where it's just the last, year of the contract. You usually give him an extension, or there may be a mutual parting of the ways, which I think if Mike Tomlin did ever leave Pittsburgh, that I think it would end with him parting on his own terms. So that's going to be interesting, because I mean, the way their season is going right now, and again, it's fluid, but you giving him an extension based off of, okay.
I would fire the general manager, because I really do not like their general manager and how they pick pieces. And then plus they kept Big Ben there for a while. I don't think that was all Tomlin's decision for them to keep Big Ben there all that time.
No, I agree with. That I agree with. I'm just talking,
criminal.
Right.
That was criminal.
I got you. No, I got you. I'm just talking about, and I guess for me it's just how it looks on paper to give a guy an extension, and you're coming off of a season where the expectations weren't met, and somewhere along that season you lose back-to-back games to 2-win teams at home. So I guess I'm looking at it from the perception standpoint of it. Now, if I had to put money on it, he's coming back to coach next year, if I had to put money on it. But I'm just curious how all that kind of plays out, once the season's over and, however they finish. Because I still, a part of me thinks they're still going to get 9 wins. So
they are.
Yeah, a part of me thinks they're going to get 9 wins at some point. So
I'll throw something out there for Steelers fan. Just for Mike Tomlin, I'll throw something out there that I've thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And now people may say I'm crazy when I say this. I can see a situation where Arthur Smith does not keep his job as the Atlanta Falcons head coach, and Mike Tomlin becomes the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
Yeah.
They could, I mean, they could use it out there. They could use it. They could use a quarterback. They could use another quarterback, man. And the one guy that comes to mind is Justin Fields, because there's a lot of talk about.
You were reading my mind. You were reading my mind a little bit, even though I don't think they should get rid of him in Chicago. But if they are to get rid of him in Chicago,
right,
I think Atlanta would be the place where he'd need to go.
Yeah. The Chicago's in an interesting situation. They got 2 first-round picks early, one of them which I guess they could trade to get multiple picks, within those first 2 rounds. We'll have to see what direction they go. But, I mean, they got a nice win against a team that's trying to, prove itself, come postseason time in Detroit. So, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Let me give you something else too that I was thinking about.
What's good?
If you have him hire him as the coach in Atlanta, can you imagine the commercials with him and Samuel Jackson talking about the Atlanta Falcons? Man, that would be great. The energy in that commercial would be
the, awesome. The demeanors, right? You referring to like kind of the demeanor, yeah. Yeah, I forget Samuel Jackson does that stuff for them, but yeah. Hey, that ludicrous performance the other week though, that was dope.
Yes, it was.
Him in the air, that was dope.
They had T.I. lead them out on the field too. By the way, that game too, or sometime.
Right. Hey, I don't want to. We only got a few minutes left, but Your thoughts on the Chiefs game this weekend, Chiefs Bills, Kadarius Toney in that situation, and you know Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid kind of letting the referees have it, and I imagine that fine is going to be hefty with the way that they was talking greasy in the in the press conferences. I'll say this though, all that frustration that they showed. All that need to be directed to Kadarius Toney because it wasn't just, lining up in a neutral zone. It wasn't just that. He dropped the pass earlier in that game that, could have gone a long way. And then he did something else earlier in the game that kind of cost him a bit. But he's had these moments, kind of going back to the opener against Detroit. He's had like these drops and stuff, and as well as some of the other receivers on the team. But particularly Kadarius Toney, and I pick on him not just because of him sort of being the highlight of the weekend for the Chiefs, but this dude stays trolling the Giants on Twitter for some reason, and it's like, bruh, you don't play for them no more. Why are you worrying about the Giants and what they got going on? Worry about what you got going on with Kansas City. Your thoughts on everything that went down in Kansas City?
I've got a couple thoughts, and I was listening to Bomani Jones talk about this. The funniest thing that Bomani said is, he said, he looked at him, he said, man, he was not only offsides, he was in somebody else's house. Basically, how far outside he was. I was cracking up, man. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, I looked at it again, I was like, yeah, he definitely was, man. He was offsides, but also Dan Orlovsky put out a film as well. Mm-hmm. He was literally lining up all sides the entire game. Mm-hmm. So I get the warning thing. I get that part. But ultimately, you're the wide receiver. It's your responsibility. I grew up playing football. And I played wide receiver until like 10th, 11th grade in high school.
Yeah.
And I played, I played college as well. Just played defense. But every time I was told to me, you check with the referee to see where you are on the field. Every single time. Doesn't matter if you're close inside, close outside, you check with the referee to make sure you're onside. And then the story that cracked me up is that they said he asked and he didn't. And I was like, look at the man's reaction on the sideline.
Right.
That will tell you if he said that or not. He said nothing to the referees. Mm-hmm. He just sat there. That is not the reaction of a man that had been told. And then they said it. What he was, I was like, then that's not the reaction of a man that the referee told him he was onside, and then he got called on. If it was me and that happened to me, I'd be irate. He was just sitting there and looking like he lost. Yeah. And that's when I knew Andy Reid would probably come out with something. And sure enough, what happened? Andy Reid came out and said he talked to him and said he didn't ask the referee or anything. I'm like, that's the main thing you're supposed to do. And everyone's talking about you're supposed to give a warning and do this and do that. I'm like, okay, so you're mad at the referee for making the right call. You're mad at the referee when they make the worst call.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ultimate thing is you're never going to be happy with the referees. So why put it in their hands?
Yeah.
Take care of what you got to take care of. You don't have to worry about that. And then also people keep thinking that referees are, somehow infallible and they're supposed to get everything 100% right. It never happens. That is a part of the game for a referee to get something wrong. Just like it's for a guy to be wide open, drop a pass. Just for this, for like a running back to slip. Just like it is for someone to miss a tackle. It is all part of the game.
Yeah.
You play to win the game, like Herm Edwards said.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's, I don't mind asking for referees to be more consistent. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I guess each reffing crew is different, because you're gonna have some crews that love to throw the flags out, like in the what game was that? Seattle and Dallas a couple Thursdays ago, where they had to have thrown about 40 flags in that game. That was just ridiculous. And you know, that ended up being a high scoring game. But then you got other reffing crews that like to let them play a little bit, but then every now and then, ooh, I got to throw a flag out, you know, just because, you know, we realize we ain't reached our quota yet. So, you know, I got to throw five flags out. It's kind of like the Rams Bengals Super Bowl a couple years ago, where it felt like for about three quarters there was no flags thrown, and then at the end of the game, up, let's start throwing some flags. So.
I'll say this. For those that kind of go back and forth on the referees, you would really hate it if they had like computer referees. Because if they had computer referees, there would be a flag on every play because literally there's holding or something on every single play. And the game would last for like 5 or 6 hours. At that point, you'd be mad the game was going on that long. To me, ultimately, what it comes down to is, you know, a lot of folks aren't happy with the result of what happened. So they're coming up with ways to why they're not happy with the result of what happened. Instead of understanding, hey, we took that L, we got to move on.
Facts, man. Hey, man. I appreciate you coming on here, man. You know, doing it up, man. Again, so proud of you, and you know what you've, you know, become with your podcast and the guest. I did have one last question for you, real quickly, before I get you up on out of here. The most difficult guest that you had to book to get on your podcast was who?
Most difficult in terms of how long it took for me to get that guest.
Anything. It could be how long you got them. It could be the communication. It could be anything. Any degree of difficulty.
Oh, degree of difficulty has got to be Jamel, though. That's got to be by far. You know, it took a while to kind of match up, get a reply back, things like that, and try to hook it up. And then finally, it's almost like God shined down on me when I was at the Black Sports Business Symposium. And she was on the stage actually talking, took a picture of her and mentioned her in it. And all of a sudden, I didn't know she actually paid attention as much to me, kind of, you know, putting her stories in my, putting her podcast in my IG stories. But she
Got you.
did. And that kind of opened the door for me. Boom, figured out how to hook it up. And then a month later, boom, she was on my podcast. So I've literally been trying for like 2 years almost before I got her on my podcast. Or like it was
Dope
about a year and
stuff.
change, almost 2 years. Yeah.
Dope stuff, man. And I had a chance to listen to that episode too, man. That was some dope stuff that you did right there, man. For the people, let everybody know where they can find you at on social media and what you got coming up.
All right, you can find me on the artist formerly known as Twitter at MikePatton82. That's MikePatton82. Of course, you can find me on Threads and Instagram at the, that's THA, that's THE underscore general underscore MP. And of course, Touring AFC South, you can find it on all listening platforms, YouTube as well. Of course, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, those places. Also, as far as who I have coming up, got one person coming on to talk a little Houston. I got Kim White Davis come on and talk a little Houston versus the Tennessee Titans. And I just may have someone coming on to talk Colts and Steelers this week as well. Still trying to confirm that one as long as, you know, I got to reach back out, but, you know, still trying to confirm that one.
No doubt, no doubt. Hey, man, as always, man, great job, man. Dope work you're doing. And you know, again, bro, appreciate you coming on here. And as always, man, you know, stay up, and we'll holler at you, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And thank you again for the opportunity, man. Of course, wish Maestro was here. Get well soon, man. And, you know, definitely gonna have to chop it up again.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. Might catch you at one of those symposiums one of these days.
I was going down next summer, man.
I'm looking to see if I can make one, man, for certain.
All right.
All right,
Cool.
fam. All right. It's the homie right there, Mike Patton, with the Touring the AFC South podcast, which you can find on all your streaming platforms. And you can find him on Twitter also. He's got dope podcasts with some dope entertainers, journalists, people that cover these teams, and, you know, some important people. So make sure y'all check that guy out. I guess I could get into some of these picks for these upcoming games here. And, you know, we're going into the stretch of the season where it's starting to get really exciting. 4 games left for everybody in the season. Playoff spots up for grabs. You got the AFC loaded with wild card teams. You got the NFC. Even though there's some teams that's below 500, you still got a group of those teams, 6 and 7, you know, kind of in there. So I guess we could start here with, you know, some of these games here that are going to be important games. So these got these Saturday games here. Pittsburgh got the Colts, like kind of me and Mike talked about. Again, I would love for Pittsburgh to lose this game, but somehow, some way, they've beaten the Colts over consecutive times over the last several years. And I just have a feeling in my head that that's going to happen this week. So, but I don't like it. I'd rather the Colts, you know, win that game. And then, and I like the way they had this set up. They got 3 Saturday games. They got the Vikings going to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, 2 backup quarterbacks going at each other. Cincinnati with a chance to maybe get to 8-6. And maybe, you know, jump into a wild card position in the AFC. Minnesota at 7-6, who had a strange game against the Raiders last week. They beat them 3-0 in a really low scoring effort. They benched Josh Dobbs, and I forget the guy that they're going to put at quarterback this week, but we'll see how that goes. And Justin Jefferson did come back, but then he got hurt with some rib issues, so we'll see how that goes. And then I think this is the game of the day on that Saturday. You got the Broncos, who got to give the Broncos all the credit in the world. This team started off 1-5. They gave up 70 points to the Dolphins earlier this season, and then they made some changes with the defense. They cut Randy Gregory. They did some other stuff, and, you know, they've been balling on that side of the ball combined with Russ cooking. Stats is better with Russ this year. He's playing a lot better than he did last year. And so you got that going for the Denver Broncos. They're going to be taking on the Detroit Lions in Detroit Saturday night, in a game that I think both teams got to have as well. I think this is going to be a great game. I could see Denver's defense really putting in work on this Detroit offense that hasn't really been looking like itself the past couple of weeks. But in the end, I think I'm going to go with the Lions here at home. I think they're going to make a couple extra plays here on offense. I still think it could be like a 24-21 type of a game. Denver's not offensively explosive like that. They don't have the necessary weapons to do that. But I could see a 24-21 type of a game. I could see Detroit coming out winning that game. And then Sunday's games here. Got some important ones here. I guess Tampa Bay and Green Bay, if you want to say it's for wild card positioning. Okay, cool. But, you know, both teams are 6-7. Green Bay really had a bad loss last night against the Giants. We'll see what happens there. I kind of like Green Bay in that spot right there. You got the Bears going up to Cleveland to play the Browns, and the Browns have had a couple of good games. They did lose to the Rams the previous week. They did beat Jacksonville this week. And my old quarterback, Joe Flacco, who's been sitting on the bench, not the bench, he's been sitting on his couch at home for the majority of the year. And the Browns just was like, hey, let's call Joe Flacco. And, you know, he's been their starter for these past couple of games. Now, I will say this, because I do have folks out there that call me the Joe Flacco apologist. you know, when Joe was the Ravens quarterback before Lamar became the quarterback. And I'll just say this at this stage of his career. He's playing behind a top 10 offensive line in Cleveland. Me and my show, we've kind of established that Cleveland had one of the better offensive lines in football. So you got that. He hasn't been sacked a lot. I think he's had like 3 or 4 sacks in these 2 games. He has an offensive coach as the head coach, something that he's never had before. And if you kind of go back to since he left the Ravens and went to Denver for a year and then went to the Jets for about a couple of years, all those things I mentioned, the top 10 offensive line, the head coach who is an offensive play caller, he hasn't had any of that. So is it surprising to see him perform this way? No, it's not surprising given those things. But I will say this too. I see the same Joe Flacco that I've known, you know, all these years. I don't think he's doing anything different. I just think he's playing in a situation where he hadn't played with a top 10 offensive line and he hasn't played with a coach that's an offensive play caller before. So I'll just say that. In regard to the game against Chicago, they got a game that they could win right there. Give me the Browns as much as I hate to say that. And then you got a couple other important games here. You got Dallas going to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Big game for both teams. I said it earlier when Mike was on. I think the Bills, this is their time to really, you know, take control of their own destiny. If they can win their games, they could win the AFC East. They're really in striking distance if they could find a way to put these wins together here. You know, after Dallas, they got the Chargers with a backup quarterback. They got the Patriots with a backup quarterback. And then they see the Dolphins in the final week of the year. I like Buffalo in this game. It's at home. I know Dallas has been hot, scorching fire these past few weeks. Most of it's been at home. So they've been a different team at home than they've been on the road. The conditions, I don't know what they are, but it's December and it's Buffalo and who knows, you could get 10 feet of snow up there. Who knows? Give me the Bills in this one, going up against the Cowboys. And then, you know, some of these other games, don't really care about. Houston at Tennessee, Jets at Miami. Miami should be able to pull that one out, but with the Jets defense, you just never know. Chiefs at the Patriots. Chiefs had better win that one. Giants, Saints. Saints had better win that one. Atlanta, Carolina. Atlanta better win that one. Not a lot of good games this weekend. I think the highlight is really Dallas, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Indy on Saturday, Denver, Detroit on Saturday. And then you got the Ravens. You got the Ravens going to Jacksonville, my team, playing the Jaguars Sunday night. As I talked about with Mike, I feel like this is a game the Ravens can win. This is also a get back game from last year where we had the lead late in the game and we gave it up, you know, in the final minutes of the game. That was a game we lost. Justin Tucker, you know, tried to kick a 60 something yard field goal, but he was short. And so this is us getting our lick back for the loss in Jacksonville last year. So I'm going to go with my team there. And then Monday night, we got the Eagles coming off of an ass whooping to the Dallas Cowboys, going up against the Seahawks in Seattle. Seattle is on a really, really rough stretch of games here. They just played the 49ers twice. They got swept there. They played Dallas on a Thursday night. That was a great game, by the way. And now they're going up against the Eagles, and I would have to say a very upset Philadelphia team. Seattle 6-7, they could fall out of this thing pretty quickly. I'm gonna play it safe here. I'm gonna go Philly in this game. Philly gets to 11-3. Yeah, they get to 11-3. Seattle, you know, drops to 6-8, unfortunately, and that might be their demise as far as, you know, getting playoff position in there. So those are the games you got for this weekend, folks. Looking forward to the rest of the season, man. It's going to be a fun one down the stretch, this final quarter of the year. Quick shout out to the folks in the chats here tonight, man. I see you, Sean Sims, Kesey, up in the Facebook live chat. Appreciate all y'all jumping in. Want to thank Mike Patton from the Tour in the AFC South podcast as well for joining me on this platform as well. To my brother Maestro Styles, I know you tried to dodge the smoke this week, you know, with the Steelers losing to the Patriots. But in all seriousness, man, get well soon. Can't wait to get you back here next Tuesday to chop it up with you. Folks, continue to follow us on our social media platforms. We got the Instagram page. You can follow us at Barbershop Sports Talk Podcast. We got the Facebook page. Click the like button. We got the YouTube page. Click on that subscribe button. Tell a friend to tell a friend for certain there. You can also watch us on Twitch also. I know I'll be forgetting about Twitch every now and then, but I got to put that out there a lot more. We are on Twitch streaming at the moment, so you could continue to follow us there if you are a Twitch user. Email, hit us up if you got questions, comments, you want to be on the show or anything like that. It's barbershopsportstalk1@gmail.com. And then also, folks, you can write us a review on any of these streaming platforms, whether it's Amazon, Google, Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Let us know what you think about the show. Those reviews come a long way. And then, hit us up on the Twitter handle too. Barbershop SPOR2 is the Twitter handle. Again, thanks to everybody in the chats. Thanks to the homie Mike Patton for coming on. Appreciate his work. Appreciate what he's been doing and all that good stuff. Love, peace, and happiness to everybody out there. And as always, folks, mind your damn business and drink some water.
Oh, yeah, we got him. Trey Frazier and Maestro Styles. You know we got one. Right back like you left some.